Well, g'day friends, on this very unusual Easter day, but we can still say Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. We're going to spend a little bit of time having a look at just one episode after Jesus' resurrection between Jesus and his disciples, and especially Thomas. But before we do so, let me pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that even under the current circumstances, that we can draw near to you by faith, that we can spend time reading the scriptures to come to a greater and clearer understanding of who Jesus is. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, as we do so now, that you would give us ears to hear and minds and hearts to receive your word. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I don't know what your experience has been since this whole coronavirus thing has hit, but one of the things I've noticed is that my email inbox has been flooded with emails from all kinds of businesses and companies and organisations, some of whom I have barely anything to do with, and they're all promising me that they're really concerned for my welfare and they want to look after me and they want to bend over backwards to help me out and all this kind of stuff. Well, one of the things I noticed with some of them is that they're not just expressing care and concern, but they're promoting things to me that I could do this course of study with all the spare time that I have now that we're stuck at home. And I don't know about you, but I've found that kind of stuff really jarring because I don't feel like I've got extra capacity for things at the moment. The whole world has just got an extra level of stress going on in the background. And for some of us, we're trying to juggle now being at home, working from home, trying to look after the kids at the same time and doing homeschooling, and that's all really complicated. Certainly, you know, for me, church and a lot of the things that we're doing has all had to move online very rapidly, and we're trying to get used to new things like doing video sermons like this one, and we've all become experts at how to use Zoom just recently. But all of that just kind of takes away from capacity. So I don't feel like I've got extra time or extra capacity. I feel like it's exactly the opposite. Now, as much as I don't have extra time, one of the things I've also noticed is that I do have extra opportunity to waste time because so much of what I'm doing is online. And so it's easy to just open up an extra tab in a browser and get distracted by something for a little bit. One of my favorite distractions in the past from time to time has been to watch videos from a group called Dude Perfect. And now Dude Perfect do all kinds of trick shots. So they get footballs and soccer balls and basketballs and ping pong balls, and they bounce them off all kinds of different surfaces and do all kinds of tricky things. And it's kind of entertaining to watch. And some of the trick shots that they pull off, you'd really have to see to believe. It's just almost unfathomable the kind of stuff that they manage to do. Part of me wonders whether some of their videos they've kind of edited after the event, because you need to see what they've done in order to believe it. It's really kind of trivial stuff though, right? Even if I got to see their trick shots in the flesh and believed that they all truly happen, it's not going to transform my life. But the episode that we're looking at between Jesus, his disciples, Thomas, well, it's another see it in order to believe it moment. But this is one that will transform your life. And so that's what we're going to be looking at. Just to get us up to speed, John chapter 20, the beginning of the chapter, the tomb is empty. Jesus has been raised to life again, and the disciples hurry there and they experience the empty tomb, but they don't see Jesus. Although Mary Magdalene does get to encounter the risen Jesus. And then kind of halfway through the chapter, Jesus does turn up to the disciples and they meet him. Although Thomas isn't there. I've just got one point that we're going to be working through today, and that is this. Seeing Jesus truly is life transforming. Seeing Jesus truly is life transforming. I'm going to read for you from John chapter 20, from verse 24 to 31. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. A couple of years ago, I was in a cafe in Parramatta. I was catching up with a mate, when we went to the cafe, we grabbed our coffees and we went and sat in a corner away from the entrance. And while we were catching up, there was this kind of rowdy group of office workers that came in, and they kind of came in and made a bit of noise, and it looked like they ordered their coffees and got them takeaway, and then they took them back out again, and they were gone almost as quickly as they came. My mate and I didn't think that much of it until we got up and went to the counter and went to pay for our coffees. And the guy behind the counter said, "Hey, did you see who that was?" And we said, "No, we didn't notice who was there." And he said, "That was the Premier of New South Wales that just came in. He was stoked because the Premier had come to his cafe. We hadn't noticed. We missed our opportunity to meet someone really important. It was gone like that. No selfie or anything." Thomas misses his moment with Jesus, his first potential moment. In verse 24, we pick up, "Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.'" Thomas misses his chance, and then he responds with disbelief. "But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" Now, Thomas has gotten a bit of a bad rap over the years for his initial response, this disbelief that he responds with. He's gotten the nickname Doubting Thomas. But we should have more empathy with Thomas. He just wants to see some evidence. He wants to see the risen Jesus with his own eyes. And we shouldn't hold that against him. It's not every day that a person is raised to life from the dead again, especially after 3 days. We shouldn't hold this against Thomas. And then a week passes, and we pick up in verse 26. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, but this time Thomas was with them. And Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Confronted with the risen Lord Jesus, Thomas's disbelief, his doubt, melts away. And the very next verse, he confesses his faith. Verse 28, Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Thomas has now seen Jesus with his eyes, recognized who Jesus truly is, and confessed faith, "My Lord and my God." And so Jesus commends Thomas. In verse 29, he says, "Because you have seen me, you have believed." Jesus says to Thomas, "Because you have seen me with your eyes, you have truly recognized me. And you have confessed true faith in me, Thomas." What's really interesting is the next thing that Jesus says, though. "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus commends Thomas for the faith that he's arrived at, having recognized who Jesus truly is. And yet he says, blessed will be those who don't see me with their eyes and yet come to the same recognition that shows itself in faith that confesses that Jesus is both Lord and God. And then John gives us some insight in the next two verses into how this can happen. Picking up at verse 30, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This tells us the mechanism. Thomas saw Jesus with his eyes. This next group of people that Jesus talks about, those who won't see him with their eyes and yet come to the same conclusion, are those who will hear the witness of his disciples, those who will read the words of Scripture that his disciples will write down. It's those who recognize Jesus not from sight, but from the witness that is shared with them. These are the ones who Jesus describes as being blessed. And actually, verse 31 gives us a little bit more insight into the blessing that they will receive. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This life that is accessible in Jesus' name is the blessing that Jesus is talking about. And it's a life that has both a quantity and a quality. That is, the life that Jesus is talking about is eternal life. That is, life that has conquered over death. Life just like the life that he has now, having risen and ascended to be with the Father. It's life that will be ongoing, that will no longer experience death. That is the quantity of life that is to be had by believing in Jesus' name. But there is a quality to this life as well. And the quality is this: to those who believe in Jesus' name, John's Gospel and the New Testament says that we will be made children of God, that we will be adopted into God's own family, that we will call upon God as our heavenly Father, as his children, his sons and daughters. This is what it means to be blessed, by recognizing Jesus for who he is, recognizing that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, and having believed, receiving life in his name. Quantity, eternal, quality as children of God. This is a very relevant truth for us right now. You see, two things that we face right now are isolation and uncertainty. And this life that Jesus offers, that is both eternal and is as a child of God, address both of these issues of isolation and uncertainty. Isolation because having believed in Jesus' name and having received the life that comes about as a result, having been made children of God, our Heavenly Father, even when we are alone, we are not alone. Even when we're alone, even when we're distanced from people, God remains our Father. God remains one whom we can call out to confidently, having been adopted as his children through Christ. God is one that we can speak to, whom we can pray to, who will never leave nor desert us. And so the life that we can have, having believed in Jesus' name, helps us cope with the isolation. But it also helps us cope with the uncertainty. Now, part of the uncertainty is it feels like there's no finish line. Right, there's the kind of 90-day restrictions that we're in right now, and then there'll be the kind of 6-month window that we're expecting that there'll be some kind of restriction in, but we don't know that that's when things will finish. Things could go much longer. It's kind of an unknown quantity, and so we're really uncertain. But one thing that we don't have to be uncertain about is that there is a day marked in the future when Jesus will return, and when those who are his, who have confessed with Thomas that he is their Lord and God, will be welcomed in. That gives us hope. We know that there's a day when sin will be done with, when sickness will be done with, when death will be done with. And we can look forward to that confidently in hope. And so even if our present circumstances feel like they have no finish line on them, we know that there is an ultimate finish line that we can look forward to confidently. Now, friends, you might not be totally persuaded by what I've said. Can I encourage you to read John, start to finish, from chapter 1 all the way through to the end of chapter 21. Give it a read. Maybe you'll be confronted by who Jesus truly is. Maybe you'll be persuaded by the written witness that we find here. Maybe you'll become one of those ones whom Jesus describes as blessed, who, though we haven't seen him physically, have come to the same conclusion that Thomas arrived at, recognizing Jesus for who he truly is, both Lord and God. And really, this has been my one point that I've been trying to share today, that seeing Jesus truly is life transforming. Recognizing Jesus, believing in his name, leads to life, and that life is eternal, and that life is as a child of God. Will you investigate the written account and consider believing upon Jesus' name? Brothers and sisters, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.